理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 7 Preview. Your brain is the greatest personal computer you'll ever have. Consider the huge variety of activities it's capable of. Observing, learning, dreaming, wondering, feeling, imagining, comparing, calculating, creating, remembering, and forgetting. But how often do you think about thinking? The three texts in this unit invite you to do just that. While the author of the first article argues that we don't value thinking and thinkers highly enough, the second offers some ideas for teaching children or ourselves to think more critically, creatively, and effectively. In the final text, we'll examine our thoughts about thinking and consider what it takes to change our mental habits.
Text A, Thinking, A Neglected Art, by Carolyn Kane. It is generally agreed that the American education system is in deep trouble. Everyone is aware of the horrible facts. School systems are running out of money. Teachers can't spell. Students can't read. High school graduates can't even find China on the map. Most of us know, or think we know, who is to blame. Liberal courts, spineless school boards, ridiculous government regulations. It's easy to select a bad guy. But possibly the problem lies not so much in our institutions as in our attitudes. It is sad that although most of us claim that we believe in education, we place no value on intellectual activity. We Americans are a charitable and humane people. We have institutions devoted to every good cause, from rescuing homeless cats to preventing World War III. But what have we done to promote the art of thinking? Certainly, we make no room for thought in our daily lives. Suppose a man were to say to his friends, "I'm not going to PTA tonight, or the baseball game, or whatever, because I need some time to myself, some time to think." Such a man would be shunned by his neighbors. His family would be ashamed of him. What if a teenager were to say, "I'm not going to the dance tonight, because I need some time to think"? His parents would immediately start looking in the yellow pages for a psychiatrist. Several years ago, a college administrator told me that if he wanted to do any serious thinking, he had to get up at 5:30 in the morning. I suppose because that was the only time when no one would interrupt him. More recently, I heard a professor remark that when his friends catch him in the act of reading a book, they say, "My, it must be nice to have so much free time." And even though I am an English teacher, a person who should know better, I find myself feeling vaguely guilty whenever I sneak off to the library to read. It is a common belief that if a man is thinking or reading, he is doing nothing. Through our words and our actions, we express this attitude every day of our lives. Then we wonder why our children refuse to take their studies seriously, and why they say to their teachers, "Why do I need to learn this stuff? It won't do me any good. I'll never need it." It's easy to understand the reasons for this prejudice against thinking. One problem is that, to most of us, thinking looks suspiciously like doing nothing. A human being in deep thought is an uninspiring sight. He leans back in his chair, props up his feet, puffs on his pipe, and stares into space. He gives every appearance of wasting time. Besides, he's leaving all the hard work for us. We wish he would get up and do something useful. Clean the house, maybe, or mow the lawn. Our resentment is natural. But thinking is far different from laziness. Thinking is one of the most productive activities a human being can undertake. Every beautiful and useful thing we have created exists because somebody took the time and effort to think of it. And thinking does require time and effort. It's a common misconception that if a person is gifted, or bright, or talented, wonderful ideas will flash spontaneously into his mind, Unfortunately, the intellect doesn't work this way. Even Einstein had to study and think for months before he could formulate his theory of relativity. Those of us who are less intelligent find it a struggle to conceive even a moderately good idea, let alone a brilliant one. Another reason why we distrust thinking is that it seems unnatural. Human beings are a social species, but thinking is an activity that people do best when they're alone. Consequently, we worry about people who like to think. It disturbs us to meet a person who deliberately chooses to sit alone and think instead of going to a party or a soccer match. We suspect that such a person needs counseling. In addition, such people can sometimes appear unfriendly, and that makes us deeply uneasy. Our concern is misplaced. Intelligence is just as much a part of human nature as friendliness. It would certainly be unnatural for someone to totally isolate themselves, but it would be equally unnatural for a person to allow his mind to die of neglect. If Americans ever became convinced of the importance of thought, we would probably find ways to solve the problems of our schools, problems that now seem impossible to overcome. But how can we revive interest in the art of thinking? The best place to start would be in the home. Family members should practice saying such things as, "I'll wash the dishes tonight because I know you want to catch up on your thinking." This may sound crazy, but if we are to survive as a free people, we will have to take some such course of action as soon as possible, because regardless of what some advertisers have led us to believe, this country does not run on oil. It runs on ideas.
New words. Spineless.
Spine.
Ridiculous.
Regulation.
Regulate.
Regulator.
Guy.
Charitable.
Humane.
Promote.
Shun.
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatric.
Psychic.
Administrator.
Administration.
Vaguely.
Vague.
Sneak.
Stuff.
Suspiciously.
Suspicious.
Prop.
Appearance.
Mow.
Lawn.
Resentment.
Misconception.
Flash.
Spontaneously.
Spontaneous.
Intellect.
Formulate.
Relativity.
Moderately.
Moderate.
Species.
Deliberately.
Soccer.
Counsel.
Isolate.
Regardless.
Text B. How to teach your child to think. In a world that's growing more complex and competitive by the minute, the ability to think clearly and critically has never been more important. But how many of us devote any time to nurturing habits of serious critical thought in our children, or in ourselves for that matter? How can we help kids sharpen their minds for a highly competitive future? The first step, say experts, is to create a thinking atmosphere in your home. Here's how to begin. Examine your own thinking about thinking. Most people mistake quick answers for intelligence, so we assume that a quick child is automatically a good thinker. Nothing could be more untrue. Quick answers are often not the deepest answers or the best ones, and placing too much value on quick thinking just promotes intellectual laziness. Meanwhile, the slow, reflective children, the ones teachers scold for daydreaming, often have deeper insights than their brighter counterparts. By ignoring them, we are overlooking our greatest intellectual resources. Start early. Brenda Richardson, mother and teacher, starts five-year-olds thinking by reading simple poems. One of her favorite examples is, "If all the world were an apple pie and all the sea were ink, and all the trees were bread and cheese, What would we have to drink? Then she leads the children into other thought-provoking questions, such as, if a sentence begins with if, does that mean it's not true? You'd be surprised at the thoughts that bubble up, says Richardson. The youngsters learn a way of reading and thinking that can last a lifetime. Give children something to think about. Take your kids to museums, read together, watch TV side by side, then talk about what you've seen and heard. Don't just walk through a museum and admire the exhibits, psychologist Alan Sternberg says. Throw out questions. Challenge the kids' imaginations. What might the earth be like if dinosaurs came back? Involve the whole family. Good thinking habits can be learned best in a small group with plenty of give and take. Even the youngest child has ideas that should be brought out and listened to. A formal curriculum isn't necessary. Dinner talk about the events of the day can provide excellent opportunities for instruction. Can you think of a different way you might have answered the teacher, Mike? Tell jokes. Humor can help teach kids that there's more than one way of looking at things. A pun, for instance, gets a laugh because it looks at words from a different perspective. Bob Hope had a disappointing Christmas, goes one old joke. He only got one golf club, and it didn't even have a swimming pool. Once you've established a thinking atmosphere, it's time for step two, training your kids to use the following method of critical thinking. Look at all sides. One technique taught by Edward de Bono, founder of the Cognitive Research Trust Program, a widely used method of teaching thinking, is the PMI. This involves looking for the pluses, minuses, and interesting points about any given question. Edward de Bono once asked a group of 30 10-year-olds, "How would you like to receive $5 a week for attending school?" All 30 enthusiastically voted for the idea. Then he asked them to do a PMI. After 3 minutes of listing pluses, minuses, and interesting points about the proposal, 29 out of 30 had changed their minds. Among the minuses, our parents wouldn't give us allowances, and the school would raise prices for meals. Further and deeper thought had convinced the group that the obvious answer wasn't necessarily the best. The PMI method is easy enough to recreate at home. It's fun to let all family members take turns proposing questions, then start brainstorming the pluses, minuses, and interesting points as you can, while a group secretary notes them all down in appropriate columns on a piece of paper. One crucial rule of de Bono's method is that no thought should be rejected. If someone's idea seems dumb, ask them to clarify it. Usually you'll find they are just looking at the question from an unexpected perspective.
New words. Competitive.
Nurture.
Automatically.
Automatic.
Automation.
Reflective.
Daydream.
Overlook.
Pie.
Cheese.
Provoke.
Thought-provoking.
Bubble.
Dinosaur.
Pun.
Golf club.
Cognitive.
Founder.
Plus.
Minus.
Enthusiastically.
Enthusiastic.
Proposal.
Allowance.
Brainstorm.
Appropriate.
Dumb.
Clarify.